Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary I'm your host tonight. I just checking my mic. Welcome to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Gary. I'm your host. Tonight, oh, and if you're new here, in addition to us being here Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, this is also a call-in show. And so at a certain point, guys, I will announce that call-in section. I set a whole section aside just for you. And so at that point, I'll have my phone number out there, and I'll open my chat room for you. And I'll be taking calls and answering any questions, comments in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat. Also, if you're new here, all of our shows are archived. They're recorded such that if you can't listen to the entire presentation, if you'd like to go back and hear it again, you can just find it on our on-demand section. On-demand should be found on my site, if you're on my site right now. And just scroll down and you should see our on-demand section. And you'll see all of our previous shows there. And just pick them by topic and you can play those full shows. All right. And so let's get into it, guys. I want you to know, and of course, if you're new, that we deal with all the subjects that affect our lives every day, except we deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. Tonight, guys, is a continuation, a part two of a presentation that we started yesterday, Thursday. Thursday's presentation was called When God Was a Woman. This presentation is called When God Was a Woman, Part 2. That was just too much to put into Part 1. We didn't have enough time. And so I decided to extend it over here to Part 2 because it gets deeper, much deeper than Part 1. But Part 1 is necessary, I think. And so tonight, we're going to take a revolutionary look at the divine feminine and the woman, the female, past, present, and future. All right, guys, I want y'all to get ready for this presentation because it's going to get a little deep. I'm going to try not to get into the weeds, but damn, there's some things you got to know. If you're going to move forward, if you're going to be progressive, you need a little clarity. We got to make sure things are clear. And so I wanted to do this thing on the female, on the woman, and the feminine, the femininity and all that. All right? And so let me start this off by saying that all of us, human beings, began life as females, every last one of us. And when I get back, I want to tell you why that's so. Let me give you a little music. I'll be right back. Marinate on that. Thank you. And we're back. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight on and I'm your host. I'm your host. My name is Gary. All right? And tonight, guys, folks, we're going to be doing part two of When God Was a Woman. Now, if you didn't get a chance to catch part one, just remember, as I said in the beginning of this show, all of our shows are archived. And so you can go to our on-demand section and pick up on part one. And I'll reflect a little bit for you on part one, if you like. Yeah, I'll do a little bit of part one for you. But I want to move right on into part two, and then I'll just intermingle it, and I'll remind you that this is also part of part one or something like that, so you know that. I'm just backing up a little. So I don't have to go do part one again for you tonight. Part two, When God Was a Woman. I told you a minute ago that every one of us, man and woman and child, all of us, started our lives out as females. You don't hear me. So let me tell you. Let's start with a little biology, guys. Let's get into the weeds. They ain't going to get into the weeds. But let's start with a little biology, some real stuff. Human development. The development of the human being. Development of the human being's egg. The development of the human being's fetal development. The development of the human being in the womb, the birth, the beginning of human development. Let's start from the beginning. Let's start with the fertilized egg. On the science side, on the biological side. Let's start with the fertilized egg, guys. It's fertilized. Once a woman's egg, ovum, fertilized, it begins to grow, right? And it enters several stages. One of those stages is called the zygote, Z-Y-G-O-T-E, the zygote stage. Now, here's the thing. That egg begins to split or double. And then it goes from 2 to 4, 4 to 6 eggs. So if you look at it, as it developed, you just see more and more of the same looking eggs growing. Started out as one, but now here, all these eggs, you see all these little eggs, these little balls inside of that cell now. These are all individual little eggs of themselves. Well, they're identical. And guess what? Guess what scientists call those eggs? Those identical eggs that are growing of you as they are growing. They are referred to as sister cells. S-I-S-T-E-R. They're referred to as sister cells. They're identical. They came from this one cell, this one egg. And they're doubling in size every few minutes. There's more eggs, more eggs, more eggs. And they're all identical. And they are all referred to as sister cells. Now, why do you think that is? I'm going to give you a minute. They're not called brother cells, nephew, cousins. They're called sister cells. They're her cells. They're the woman's cells. It's her egg. You got to keep in mind that when the male sperm fertilizes a woman's egg, it has entered that egg at her leisure. Because if you see the sperm reach the egg in a woman's womb, when the sperm reached the egg in the woman's uterus, whatever, when the sperm reached the egg, there's a bunch of them that make it. There's millions of sperm that don't ever make it. They die before they get there. The few that do make it surround that egg. But guess what? The door opens for one, only one. And guess what? Once that sperm enters the egg, the door closes. We're good. Nobody else gets in. Who's doing all that opening and closing? Who chose which of those sperm got in and which didn't? The sperm? The sperm got a tail on it and a head, not a brain. The cell is a full living thing. This, you know what a cell is. A human cell got a nucleus and all those little organs inside of it, organelles, they call them, inside the cell. And we'll get to that too. But inside the cell, once inside the cell, the sperm delivers DNA, data, information, code, chromosomes, DNA, genes. The head busts and delivers genes into the egg. And of course, the egg is now, would be fertilized and now use those genes and developing the child. But the sperm's job is over. Keep that in mind. The sperm's job is over. It can be, and this can be done with a hypodermic, by the way. As far as the male's participation after ejecting sperm into a woman, the rest can be done, that could be done with a hypodermic. They do it with horses all the time. They can't get them to mate. They'll get a male sperm and inject it into a female. You can sell horse sperm, as a matter of fact. You can sell human sperm. There are sperm banks that you know that. There are sperm banks that you know that. They're kept on ice, guys. And they tell me that the wealthy can go pick the sperm of a famous pianist, a famous musician, a famous artist, somebody they like the way their looks, all those good things, blue eyes, because the male's DNA delivered by the sperm determines traits of the child. Traits, how tall, how short, what color eyes, maybe. And some people believe also aptitude. So some wealthy folks look for, will pay for the sperm of a genius or a artist, a famous artist or a pianist, a musician or something. And so hoping their child will grow up with that aptitude. I don't know about that. But I do know that the male sperm carries traits to the egg. It's contribution to the egg. Once the egg is fertilized, guys, these sister cells develop. They're all female cells. That's why they're called sister cells. They're all the female's development of cells. And so it's only to certain stages of the egg that a female cell, which we all are in the beginning, we all sister cells in the beginning, and only to that you go through the zygote stage of the egg. I want you to look that up too, guys, if you want. Z-Y-G-O-T-E. At a certain point, those eggs begin to differentiate, stop looking the same. They're identical up to a certain point. And then they start taking on different characteristics. That's when different traits and characteristics are determined along the way. But in the beginning, we all sister cells until a certain stage of the egg. So that was my point on we all female from the beginning. But but let me express this point a little bit, Bob, because some of you still won't believe me, even when you see it in writing and in pictures. However, I've always asked an interesting question. In the development of the male and the female has breasts, right? With little nipples on them. And those breasts are functional. Whether they're used or not, they're functional. They serve a real functional purpose, feeding the newborn child. Let me ask you a question, men. Why do you have tits? Don't worry, I'll wait. Don't worry. I will. Why you and me could have these two tits on our chest disappear tomorrow morning and we barely miss them. As far as I can tell, they serve no real purpose. They have no real function on us. Did God make a mistake? Did our creator say, oops, I'm sorry, y'all didn't need those. Too late. No. No, 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 no. That's because your body was developed from a female cell and her sisters got together and created your body. And so as a result, as a residue of that effect, you ended up with something useless, as far as I can tell, on your chest. Tits. You ever heard the old saying, boy, you're about as useless as tits on a boar hog. A boar hog is a male hog. So tits on a male hog would be useless, just like they are on you as a man. Do you think that was a slip up? Because it slipped up a million times now, a trillion times, with every human being and every male. We all seem to end up with them. And why is that? Because we started out as female. We all do. You don't hear me. I've often asked myself, whenever I see a picture on the biblical side now, whenever I see a depiction, a drawing, painting, or some depiction of Adam and Eve, in the Christian tradition, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, God created man first, and as an afterthought, I guess, created a woman from a man's rib or something like that. And some people don't say it was rib, it was something else, but I don't know. I understood it was a rib as a child. Anyway, the man was first, Adam, not the woman. The man, the creator made the man first. Then tell me something, men. Why come in every depiction of Adam and Eve, whether it's a painting or drawing, the front page of the New York Times when they did a whole story on Adam and Eve, the original Eve and all that. Why come every time someone tries to depict Adam and Eve, even in ancient times, even on the cathedral walls, the paintings, why do they show both Adam and Eve with navels? They're naked, usually. And they have a fig leaf or something covering their genital area. But they don't have anything covering the rest of their body. And so it's easy to see the rest of their body. So look at the rest of their body if you haven't. And I don't know why nobody picked this up. 2,000 years of Christianity, nobody's picked this up. Anyway, they both have navels. Tell me something, folks. How do you get one of those? Don't worry, I'll wait. How do you get a navel? And why did some church father who commissioned the art on the Sistine Chapel, or the picture that was drawn on the New York Times of the real Adam and Eve, the every depiction I can find, that draws a picture of Adam and Eve, either the artist or whoever assigned them to write the picture, somebody overlooked the fact, I guess, all these centuries, or maybe they're trying to tell you something. Because when they were drawing that picture, wouldn't somebody say, wait a minute, these are the first people on earth. Why do they have navels? How do you get one of those? You don't hear me. Okay, I'm just saying. We all start out as females from females. You only get a navel from it in biblical court. Why is it necessary that both Adam and Eve, who was supposed to be made from Adam's rib, why was it necessary? Why hasn't it been taken care of in all this time? Erased. All you need is an eraser. Every depiction I've seen, ancient to brand new, they have navels. How do you get, is that just a mistake? Is that something we can all just overlook? Let's just all just act like that didn't happen. At some point, you would have thought somebody said, uh-oh. We can't do that. We're saying that these are the first two people on earth. So you're going to have to go back up to that painting and get rid of those navels. Because how you get one of those? One, you got to have a biblical cord. And two, it's got to be severed, cut. Before you have an Innie or an Audi. You trying to tell me somebody ain't picked that up and correct that in all these centuries? Maybe they're trying to tell you something that you've overlooked. Cognizance dissonance, they call it. You look at the truth, but you ignore the truth when it's right in your face. You can't explain to me why, you, as a man, you got tits. Non-functional little knobs on your breast that have no function as hers does. You can't explain to me why the first people on earth created by God out of clay have navels. Is it necessary for the for a developed human, a fully developed man and woman to have one of those to begin with? Or are those only necessary when the baby is in a womb being fed by the mother? And once the baby is out of the womb, the navel doesn't serve that purpose anymore. So the rest of the life of a human being doesn't seem to rely on having or not having a navel. Then why come Adam and Eve have navels? I submit somebody's trying to tell you something. But there's a little thing called cognizance dissonance. Looking at the truth and missing it, out of rhythm with it, gets past you. I told you God was a woman. I told you that we all started out as females. I told you in part one, the history of what happened to that history. She carries enough eggs inside of her by the time she's 16 to start a village, a whole new village. The job of the male sperm can be carried out with a hypodermic. They do it with horses. And you can go to a sperm bank and pick up some sperm. So I submit to you that she's not only the source of us all, that she's the source of all of our, she's not all of our, she's the source of our strength. Now, I'm just saying that, right? No, listen up, guys. Listen to me, please. Inside of your body and mine, in every, almost every cell, skin cells, blood cells, skin cells, bone cells, you name it. We got cells, Jack. Millions of, trillions of living things on us that makes us up. Inside of every human cell, there is a bunch of little organelles, organs. They call them organelles, and they're inside of cells. You got nucleus of a cell is in the center of the cell. That's where the DNA of the cell is. And you got Golgi bodies, rival zones, and all kinds of little other little organs inside of your single cell. Every single and most every single cell has all these organs in it, right? You went to school, you learned about organelles inside of a cell, the nucleus in the middle, and all the other little things around it. Well, there's something in your cell that you didn't put there. Let me say that again. There's something in most every cell you got, man or woman, that you did not. In fact, scientists do not are in dispute about how it got there. They can explain all the organs in your cell, even your DNA and your nucleus of the cell. But there's one body in your cell, and in most everyone's cell, in your every cell in your body, there's one little organ in there that they can't explain. They have to argue about how the hell that thing got in your cell. However it got in there, and they said maybe the cell tried to eat it one day and it couldn't digest, and so it just stayed in it and became part of the cell. The reason they say this, guys, is because there's one body inside of your cell that has its own DNA. You got DNA in the nucleus in the center of every cell. I think. But it's just the nature of a cell. They have a center, a nucleus, and inside the nucleus is your DNA. Well, inside of your cell is another little thing, and it's got its own DNA, separate from yours. As a matter of fact, when your human cells divide and become two, it cannot reproduce. It can reproduce every organ inside of it, a twin. As one organ, it can't reproduce. That's that little organ they can't figure out how it got there. That's that little organ with its own DNA. And it decides when it wants to split. And it may or may not show up in the next cell that's created. Or it may. This particular organ, guys, look it up. This particular organ is called the mitochondria. In high school, they used to say this is the powerhouse of the cell, of your whole human, of each human cell. They called it the powerhouse. You know why they call it that? Why would they call this little thing that don't even seem to be a part of the cell? It has its own DNA. It splits when it gets ready. Why would they call it the powerhouse now of the cell? Because that's where the cell gets its, some of it, its energy to move around and handle its business. That's where the power comes from. The powerhouse is the source of power. Your source of power in a cell, your one of the sources of power. That's more than one. But that's one major source of power in your cell. I'm sorry. Let me reiterate that. The source of power that is in your cell. Other sources are outside. The source of power that is in your cell is the mitochondria. In school, they call it the powerhouse of your cell. It is the power. It is the source of the cell's power. It has its own DNA. And you know what that DNA is called? Anybody? It is called, let me tell you what it's called. It's called female DNA. You didn't hear me. There's a body in your cell. They don't know how it got there. They argue about how it got there. Your cell has its own DNA. That body, that little thing in your cell, has its own DNA. It splits when it gets ready. And the cell splits when it gets ready using its DNA. This thing they can't figure out how it got there has become the source of power inside your cells. And what do they call the DNA that comes out of this little body that has its own little DNA? Let me say it again. They call it female DNA. It's a she. It's a she. Your source of power, the source of power in every cell in your body that has power, because if it doesn't have a mitochondria in that cell, that human cell is dormant. It may not be dead, but it's dormant. It ain't taking care of business. In order for it to have energy and power, it must have a mitochondria. In high school, they said it was the powerhouse of the cell, the mitochondria. Look it up, guys. That DNA that is separate from your cell's DNA, that only belongs to the mitochondria, is referred to as female DNA. But let me talk a little. Let me extrapolate on that. You don't believe me. You don't hear me. When they looked, when they searched, when archaeologists searched for the beginning of mankind, the origin of mankind, they use your DNA to find the origin of mankind. And guess what? It didn't work. It kept breaking off into different branches, and it was no straight line to the beginning of mankind through your DNA. Sorry. It didn't work. The way they found the origin of mankind as far back of modern man, as far back as they believe goes to the original person, modern man, kind of man, they say. The only way they were able to do that is by using the mitochondria DNA. There's a little M next to it if you see it in writing, mDNA, mitochondria DNA. Mitochondria DNA led straight to what they believed to be the first modern human. They couldn't do it with your regular DNA in your cell. They had to go to this little body that they don't know how it got in there, that has become the powerhouse, the power source for every cell in your body. In school, they call it the powerhouse of the cell, the mitochondria. They call the DNA in the mitochondria female DNA. And when they tried to find the first human, they couldn't use your DNA. They had to use female DNA to take us back to the beginning, the source. So not only is she the source of your power, she's the source of mankind. That's why you have navels on Adam and Eve. She's the source of mankind. They can't find the source of mankind using the DNA in your nucleus of your cell. Don't work. But if they go to that little mitochondria and they open it up and take out what they call female DNA, they can find the first human. And you know who the first human they found was? A woman. So yes, they were using female DNA. And so of course, when they start going back, they found the first woman of our kind on Earth. The Eve woman, they called her. The Eve, as in Adam and Eve, guys, creation, first. They called her the Eve woman because they believe she's the first of our kind. How did they get to the source of humankind? Through female DNA. And they came up with a woman because female DNA tracks the female lineage. If you go to 23andMe or Ancestry DNA to go back and look at your ancestry, they're going to ask you, they're going to tell you there's two ways you can go. You can follow your father's DNA and you'll find out about your father and his brothers. Or you can track your mother's DNA. And that's mitochondria DNA. That's female DNA. And that will take you back to the first human being on Earth of our kind. That will take you back to the source. Let me put it that way. If she's the source of the rest of us, our mothers, our mother, if her DNA tracks back and tells you she's the source of all of us, then when God was a woman, sounds just a little bit more like a fact than fiction. I want you to ruminate on that a little bit. But we ain't done, guys. Oh, God, we ain't done. I'll be right back. Let me give you a little music. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. I'm your host. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, guys, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Revolutionary Life. We look at the issues in life, or we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. In part one, guys, I told you women had lost their position in the world. At one time, we lived in matrilineal societies. At one time, we didn't only have a god. We had a goddess. Something happened to the goddess. She became property. She was moved out of any position in spirituality. This is all from part one. With the advent of Judeo-Christian religions, the woman found very little of a position inside of spiritual world. In other words, for centuries, women could not be rabbis. A woman could, and the Old Testament will allow you to kill a woman, strike her down as she approached the tabernacle on a certain day in a certain way. She had to be covered when she entered the temple. And in some of the Judeo-Christian religions, she has to be covered when she steps outside the house. Still, in some Judeo-Christian religions, she can't go to school or drive. And these are religious people who allow this, because it moves from religion, guys, into society. I told you that she had fallen. She had been pushed down the ladder of concern and interest so far that she forgot who she was. I told you that the Catholic Church said that they had the toughest time stopping these pagans, these newly converted pagans, from worshiping women. I told you in the last presentation that in the 1700s, men were sneaking into a temple of Isis. It's called the Cult of Isis. When the church found out about it, they burned it to the ground, and they built a cathedral on top of it. And that to this day, that cathedral is named Notre Dame. D-A-M-E is woman in the Latin. Not just woman, it's lady. It's a notable woman. The cathedral of Notre Dame sits on the Cult of Isis today. I told you, if you go into a Hispanic neighborhood, even the tough guys, even the cholos, if they got a religious symbol in their car, on their dashboard, or painted on their hood, it is more likely to be the Virgin Mary than it is Jesus Cristo, Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. This woman worship they've attempted to stomp it out time and time again in the church. And this degradation, devaluation, oppression, and depression of the female exists to this very, very day. Because it's just an extension of the ideology. It's just an extension. You don't hear me. I told you in that last presentation that slaves in this country were legally freed, at least the ones in the contested states, border states, were legally freed of slavery first in 1865 with the Emancipation Proclamation. Didn't free all slaves. It was only later, it was 13th Amendment. But even after all the slaves were free on paper, black men, black slaves, ex slaves, ex-enslaved men, men who used to be considered property. During what was called the Reconstruction period, after the freeing of the slaves, during this Reconstruction period, black men voted and black men held office. Hundreds. Black men that were slaves a year ago or two were now running for office and holding office and voting. My grandmother, I told you, was born in 1898. In 1898, Mississippi had a black lieutenant governor, an ex-slave, a freed man. Now, he used to be chattel. He used to be bought and sold like cattle. But guess what? Not soon after the liberation, the freedom of the slaves in this country, black men were voting and running for office. Do you know, did you know, that white women still couldn't vote? Did you know that it wasn't until the early 1900s, guys, well into the 20th century, that white women, they were white. White folks was running shit, but they were women. And white women marched to get the right to vote. White women couldn't vote when an ex-slave could. He was male, he voted. But you could be white, but if you were female, you couldn't. It wasn't until the suffrage movement. Guys, look up the suffrage movement. If a black slave could vote, somebody who was just property, just cattle, chattel, a few years ago, why wasn't until the 20th century, the early 20th century, that a white woman had to fight to get the right to vote? They have taken your power, sister, a long time ago. If biology is correct, you are the source of energy for us all. If biology is correct, you are the source of us all. Of us all. Somebody took that birthright from you. It ain't your fault. It ain't your fault. You didn't know any better. But in my last presentation, if you didn't hear it, it's on demand. I'll tell you step by step how they did it. I'll tell you what the world looked like before they did it. And so this second presentation, guys, on When God Was a Woman, took us into a little science and a little biology. I had to take you back. I had to remind you that nobody's making this shit up. We started out as females, and looks like the source of mankind could only be found through her DNA. And so we found the first modern human, and it was a woman. The mother of the soul. Now, I told you there's so much more to this, guys. This is got, even in the religious world is one thing. In society is another. But in secret societies, I haven't even gone there yet, man. In Hellenistic organizations, fraternities, sororities, in secret societies, in cults, in religious cults, I mean, the same thing applies. Well, take for instance, nuns. In the Catholic Church, there's these nuns, the cult of the Mary, the cult of the Mary of the Blessed Virgin, the cult of this, the cult of that. And oftentimes these nuns have a nunnery or an abbey where they sequester or cloister themselves away from the rest of the world. The same way monks, you know, monks live separate from the rest of the world in monasteries. Well, the females have a monastery for nuns, kind of a monastery for nuns. Every monastery, every nunnery, abbey, nunnery, where nuns are, there must be a male bishop or priest over that nunnery, to be a male assigned over her monasteries. That's right. Even in secret societies, this is true, where women were once not allowed. Once women were allowed into certain secret societies, it was okay as long as they had a male overseeing that society to straighten them out if they go wrong, I guess. I don't know. Keep them on a straight and narrow. I don't know. But they used to not be allowed in certain societies, secret societies. But once they were allowed, they must have a male over their group. And some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't. But that's okay. I don't want to name secret societies necessarily today. But we should. But I will tell you a fact that some of you women know, that there's secret societies that will now, when they never would, accept a woman. But when they did start accepting women, they made sure that a male was assigned to oversee them in their organizations. There's something about you being you, woman. There's something about your power and abilities, your energy, your femininity, that must be, for some reason or another, not allowed to rise up, it seems. I wanted the men to hear this part. I wanted them to consider some things about the female that they probably didn't realize. Maybe they didn't realize. Biologically as well. But I really need the women to hear this. There's a slideshow going across this presentation. If you're looking at these slides, there is one that says, when you educate a man, you've educated an individual. When you educate a woman, you've educated a nation. This is an old African proverb. Well, I hope I educated some women in these last two presentations, because I got some stuff to lay on you about you that you never dreamed, probably. And you probably won't believe me, so I have to give you some facts. I have to tell you where to go look. Because when I lay it on you, I doubt if any woman knows this power. I doubt if any woman knows what she used to be capable of. But in matrilineal societies, Africa, Asia, Latin America, this country, and its native population, they know something about her that she's forgotten and the rest of the world has forgotten. Or they know what she's capable of, and that's why she must be domesticated. Now, I'm moving into my call-in section, guys. I don't mean to eat up your time. I'm not done. Damn, there's so much more. Now, So what I think I'll do is I think I'll do a part three, because I want to open a door for you to look into if you ain't scared. If you're secure in your masculinity for sure, you then come with me. We're going to watch. We're going to check this out. Because I'm damn sure secure in mine. But I know what the deal is, guys. I think I know what the deal is. I think I got a lot of information, and I'm going to give you that information, and you tell me what's going on. We can talk about what's really, really holding us back as a society, holding us back as a species on this earth. The advance of humankind is at stake, and it ain't your responsibility, mister. It's hers. But before I lay such a heavy burden on her, I want her to understand who she is. Before I tell her she's responsible for taking us to the next step, I, as a species of animal on this earth, for taking us to the next level, I do want you, I'm going to put that burden on her without giving her some information first. So I'm going to have to do a part three. I know I'm going to have to do a part three. So guys, I'm into my call-in section. I'm sorry for eating up y'all time. I set this side of show aside for you. I call it your time to shine. My lines are open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. I'm opening up my chat room. My chat room will be open. So if you have questions, if you have comments, hysterical outbursts, put them in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat, and I will be responding to those entries in the chat. This part of the show, I call it Your Time to Shine, and I'm going to give you a little music while you think about it. Speak in your mind.
song. Just a little. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to come.
And you're listening. Excuse me. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, guys, we've been continuing part two of the theme, When God Was a Woman. If you didn't hear part one, please, everything I do is recorded here. Everything is archived and put on demand. And if you're on my site, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see our on-demand section. Part one should be on demand right now. Part two, what we're doing right now live, will be on demand in about an hour. And you'll be able to hear it in full if you haven't, if you got here late. And, or you can wait about an hour and you can play the entire thing. Guys, this is a call-in show. I set aside a section of this show for those who might have comments, questions, or concerns, or positions they'd like to express. And so we're in that section. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. That's right, 6060. 319-527-6060. You call me, you go straight onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everyone will hear my response. I have my chat room opened so that if you have a question, a comment, a concern, put it in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat and responding to that chat. I call it your time to shine. It's your time to shine, baby. If you've heard my presentation and you got something to say about it, let's say it. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Let me give you a little music, guys. I'll be right back. I'm going to give you some time to think about it. Hey, you're listening to Revolutionary Life. And we're right here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday night, Monday through Friday, guys, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. My name is Gary. I'm your host. Here at Revolutionary Life, we look at life from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change, baby. It's just change. There's a lot of shit out here need changing. There's a lot of things need changing. So let's address them. One of them has to do with the female in our society. And so I've done two sections now, part one and part two. This is part two you're listening to. Part one and part two. And they're both named the same. The title is When God Was a Woman. I take you back to when there was goddesses, and there was considered to be goddesses on earth. I'll take you back to where the oldest deity that they've ever found was that of a woman. A small little stone statue of a woman. I told you that in the womb and the development of the human being, we all start out as female. Sister cells. I told you to go look that up. Look at the zygote stage of the egg. From that point on. I told you that when they tried to find the first human being on earth, they tried to go back to the source of modern man by using our DNA. Now that they've been able to, now that we've been able to track the genome and to blueprint the genome of the human genome and everything, they wanted to see how far they could go back. Your DNA could not solve that problem. The DNA in the nucleus of your cell could not solve that problem. They had to go to a small little body in your cells, in all of your cells, most of your cells, called the mitochondria. In high school, they said it was the source of power for the entire cell. It was called the powerhouse of the cell. It has its own DNA. The cell can't reproduce it. It has to reproduce itself. It lives in your cells, blood cells, skin cells. It lives in your cells. But it got its own DNA. And you know what they call it? They call it female DNA. And you know, if they're tracking your mother's lineage, they use the mitochondria. Female DNA. When they found the first modern human, they could not use your DNA to do so. They had to use the DNA of the mitochondria, the female DNA. And sure enough, when they found the first modern human, that modern human was a female. They call her the Eve. And I'm quoting, they called her the Eve woman. The source of modern man. The powerhouse of our cells through the mitochondria, female DNA, and the source of mankind through mitochondria, the DNA, female DNA. I told you we all start out as females, and you probably thought I was kidding you. Then I ask you men, why do you have tits? They're functional on a woman. But if you woke up tomorrow without them, would you miss them? Is there some function you'd reach for them for? I doubt it. I mean, you'd miss them because you're used to seeing them there. Other than that, they serve no purpose on you Did God make a mistake? Did the Creator say, oops, I should put those on him? He don't need those. No. I told you. Every depiction you see of Adam and Eve, drawn, artwork, I don't care how far you go back, to the Sistine Chapel, to the Christian churches, to the cathedrals. If you find a painting or a depiction of Adam and Eve, I have to ask you a question. And I ask you this. Why does Adam and Eve have navels? I mean, they have their genitals covered with fig leaves or something, right? But they're naked except for the covering of their genitals. And so we see navels. Now, did somebody pick it? Am I the only one on earth? The artist didn't recognize he was painting a navel on the first two human beings on earth. Did the church fathers and the people who assigned these artists didn't recognize that they were putting navels on these first human beings? Number one, the woman comes from the man's rib, so why does she have a navel? And I ask you a question. I ask you, how do you get one of those? How do you acquire a navel? An innie and an outie. You get it from an umbilical cord. You know that. And somebody has to cut that cord or it'll still be stuck to you. Probably. I don't know. But somebody has to cut that cord to give you a navel. Didn't somebody pick that up from ancient times to today? Today, the New York Times did a whole magazine on the Eve, on the origin of Adam and Eve, the new information on Adam and Eve, that DNA information I was just talking about, the Eve woman. And when they had a depiction on the front page Time magazine, when they had a picture on the front page of Adam and Eve, they have them showing them with navels still today. Am I the only one that thinks that's strange for the first two people on earth? God made one, supposedly, and the Bible says God made one of them, the male. And then he took a rib or something and made the other one. Neither one of them had an umbilical cord, did they? Why do they have navels? And why hasn't anybody changed that? All you need is an eraser. Why hasn't anybody changed that in all these centuries? Maybe they're trying to tell you something. Subliminally. Maybe they're trying to tell you what I'm trying to tell you. Our source. The source of our energy, our power, the source of our existence. Now, I told you I'm going to do a part three, guys, because this ain't half enough. Because she don't know who she is, and that's been a purposeful effort to make sure she didn't. She don't know what it looks like to be in a matrilineal society, even though that was the main type of society from the Caribbean from the Mediterranean or South for sure. Africa for sure. She, even in this country, the Native Americans. She had power in the community. She was a source of spiritual practice and energy and reverence. I told you, men were worshiping women in the 1700s secretly, cult of Isis. It sits underneath, burnt down and torn down in Paris right now. It was burnt down and tore down by the Catholic Church. And they put a cathedral on top of it called Notre Dame. Notre Dame, D-A-M-E. In Latin, that's a lady. Not just a woman, a notable lady. I told you, go look at my section on Power One, guys. I told you, if you never watched the movie Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Hunchback of the Church of Notre Dame, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, he rang the bells. That was his job, because he was ugly and he had a big hunch in his back. They kept him up in the belfry. He lived in the belfry where the bells were, and he would ring the bells at church time, at different times. And they caught him up there worshiping something other than Christianity. I'd like for you to go watch that movie again in case you missed it. And they burnt him at the stake. He knew what was underneath that church. And he never quit worshiping the deity beneath that cathedral. Now, I told you I need to do part three because it ain't even a half of it. But I still got some time. And my lines are still open. And my phone number is area code 319-527-6060. And my lines are open. Call me, you go straight on to the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. I got my chat room open. You got a question, a comment, a concern, log into the chat. Let me know. I'm monitoring that chat. So since we got a little time, guys, I'm going to leave those lines open and that chat room open. And this part of the show is your time to shine. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. I'm going to play you a little music. Listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Revolutionary Life. Guys, if you're on my site, there's a follow button. There's a button up in the upper right-hand, left-hand corner, I believe. That's a follow button. If you click that button, you'll be notified when we're on the air, when we're live. Next to that follow button, there's a share button. And I do wish, if you know anybody who might be interested in any of the subjects that we'll discuss here, or just hearing them from a different angle or whatever, have them tune in. Send them, share this with them. That's what that button is for, the folks you know who might get something out of this or have something to say about it. I have comments on my on-demand section or my older videos, but if you make a comment on them, I will get it. So feel free to go back and look at those old videos because everything's archived on demand. This is part two of When God Was a Woman. And so you can click back and look at part one of this title, When God Was a Woman. So you can keep up, because there's going to be a part three. And that one is going to blow your mind. So I hope you guys, I hope you folks out there who are listening will stay tuned to our station. We won't be here tomorrow. Of course, that's the weekend. And so we won't be back until Monday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Right? We'll start again on Monday night, guys. And I plan to do, unless something comes up in the news or in our lives that needs to be addressed the right way, I think, from a revolutionary point of view addressed. Unless something comes up, guys, Monday, we're going to do When God Was a Woman, part three. Part three. If you got into one and two, you ain't heard nothing yet. You ain't heard nothing yet. All right, guys. Just a little preview, man. If you can wait until Monday, maybe I'll just wait until Monday before I tell you about parthenogenesis, something called parthenogenesis. Maybe you'll look that up before we get around to it, and I'll explain it to you Monday night. If you remember something in Greece called a building, a temple in Greece referred to as a Parthenon, I think part of it still stands today. Look that up. Let me tell you what that has to do with you as a woman, what that has to do with you. Men should listen up too. We need to know this too. And so I'm going to drop some things on you Monday night that you don't believe. And I know you don't. I know you won't. I know what happened to you. I know you've been told and sold some things as a woman that you bought. Hook, line, and sinker. But it's time for change. Revolution is just change. And we need a little clarity here. So I'm going to try to clear this male-female thing up for you. In case you don't know. So be here or be square. Monday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. When God Was a Woman, part three. I still got a little time. Let me see. I'm going to leave my lines open just for a minute, guys. And you got a few minutes to talk if you need to. And I'll leave my chat room open. And I'll be back in just a few minutes. We're running as we run out of time here. But you still got a little time. It's your time to shine. Thank you. Hey, you're listening to Revolutionary Life. We deal with all the aspects of things that affect our lives every day. We deal with them from a revolutionary point of view, and revolution is just change. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change. You know, when you're on the front of change, you might have something to say about what it looks like, how it's shaped. If you're not, you might not have anything to say. We try to ride the wave around here, and we need a little clarity in order to do so. And so we try to provide some clarity. I want to thank everybody who listened in tonight, for listening in tonight. And we'll be back here. We'll be back here Monday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Monday night, we're going to pick up where we left off at, When God Was a Woman, Part 3. Monday night, Part 3, When God Was a Woman. All right, guys. I want to thank everybody again. I appreciate those listeners who listens. And don't forget, it's a call-in show, guys. And so I will set aside a time in my show, always, for call-in. All right, so you have your ability to comment, to ask questions, to give your comment. I also have my chat room open, so you have the ability to log in and enter things into the chat. All right, so thank you very much again. My name is Gary. This is Revolutionary Life, and we're signing off for the week. We're only here Monday through Friday, and we'll see you Monday night at 7 p.m. I'm going to go and take you out of here, but I'm going to give you a little music. You have a good night. Buenas noches. Buona notte.
Awesome.
Ja, ja. So, ich gehe von Bob. Ich gehe von Bob vom Kreuzfahrtschiff.
Ja, natürlich von Bob.
Ich gehe von Bob.